Welcome to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and the Bot. Good morning. It's 7:05 on August the 9th, and Bob just kind of does ruin my whole day already this morning, Bad Bob. Bad Bob, he has 12 or 50, maybe even 150 Hawaiian shirts. So he was waiting until he saw me walk in with one. He took one of them. He keeps them on the back seat of his car. He saw the one I was wearing. He ripped off the red one he had on and put one on that looked like mine.
Had to happen sooner or later. Good morning.
Good morning, Bad Bob. Did you have a nice weekend?
Had a great weekend. Friday we went out with the Whiskey Town Kayak Tours for the special needs folks. Had a fabulous time on our little boat.
So you didn't have to work then?
Negative. And it was a refreshing event.
I had to work, Bob. That's what I'm getting at.
Yes.
I had to work all weekend, Bob.
Went to see Club Dead.
Oh, yeah. Good.
You guys worked.
So how was that?
Enjoyed it thoroughly.
Because we're hosting
Friday night
extravaganza.
Did you know that? We have tickets right here.
That's Dayad. You'll get that.
Dayad. Oh, Bill and Lisa Collins, they are so talented. We couldn't help it. We started off on the air today. There you go. I'm seeing
it's
double.
Talking about hot shirts. Well, yeah, there's a strong resemblance here. I'm talking about hot doubles here, and here she is.
Whoa. Well, good morning. It's going to be high today of 92. Good Monday morning to you. It's currently 7:07 in the morning. I didn't want to see that when you're playing the slot machine. And you know what? Today is, give you a little history here. A long, long time ago, several centuries to be exact, Isaac Walton, often spelled Isaac Walton.
Sometimes pronounced Isaac.
There you go. Was born in Stafford, England. It was 1593, and his parents had no idea that they were going to raise a fishing expert, and a knighted one at that. When Isaac was growing up, he spent a lot of time studying the art of fishing. So by the time he was 70 years old, he had written the masterwork on angling titled The Complete Angler. So Sir Isaac Walton was pretty clear about the fact that no matter how many years you spent fishing, you'll never quite get it right. Even if you read his book, he said, angling may be said to be like so many mathematics that it can never be fully learned. So today it's Let's Go Fishing Day.
Yeah, I guarantee every time I go out, I get fish.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I do. Usually it's because I stop by the Holiday, ring their little bell.
Right, you buy it.
And I buy it right there. You know, sometimes it's not what I want, but it's, you know, at least it's fish.
Well, we're going to announce our winners today for the Anselmo Dinner for Two.
Which you probably noticed didn't happen Friday.
Well, we just got away from it. It had been selected. But also this day in history, in 1936, Jesse Owens became the first American to win four medals in the Olympics. In 1957, you guys will love this, Paul Anka, at the age of 15 years, headed up the pop charts with, what do you think his song was?
Diana. Yeah. You should know that, Bob.
Out of a total of 18 weeks on the charts as number one. This is a grueling time in our history. Two things here. One that we'll never forget. In 1969, was when Charles Manson and his disciples committed one of Los Angeles' most heinous crimes, and that was where they brutally murdered actress Sharon Tate and the movie director Wojtek Frykowski and Jay Sebring, and a group of people. So that was a horrible thing. In 1974, at noon on this day, U.S. President Richard Nixon's resignation was official. Mr. Nixon, the Watergate scandal, had been facing possible impeachment. So the previous evening, he had given the American people announcing his resignation. He was the first U.S. president to resign. Now, for all the people who were hated Nixon, there were a lot of good things that he did. He was one of the first presidents that really opened up, I think, I don't know how good it is now, but I mean, it is good, the China relationship.
He took the first steps in opening China to the American markets, and now you kind of wish you could stop that since they've taken over our markets. You know, somebody sent me I get these greatest emails from people. And it seems like, and I'm trying to vet this one, but that there is a government agency headed up by a and a Clinton appointee. And what they're doing is they're teaching people high-tech jobs. And, you know, and there's a lot of money behind it, so they can learn to be in the high-tech industry. Unfortunately, they're all people from other countries. So after they're trained, they're going to go back to their countries and then compete against us for those high-tech jobs. I mean, it doesn't quite sound right. But then there's a lot of things that don't quite sound right. We're going to be touching on those today. Our guest today is going to be Dr. Ray Johns from Haven Humane. We're going to be talking about that, where because of the economy, the requirement for food for our little friends is getting huge, and it's hard for Haven Humane to keep up with this, but they are through wonder sacks of people out there. And we're going to talk about a few other things that are happening this week. Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, 1460, yes, it is Monday. Carl Lindabot, 7:15 in the morning. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we are streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Don't you think that's an appropriate song? Crack that whip.
Crack that whip.
Near. You got to get up.
You got to write to Linda at KCNR1460.com.
It's Monday morning. Good morning. We have a beautiful day ahead of us. It's going to be...
We had a big Paisano Days this weekend. People out there playing bokey ball. How was that there? How was that?
Poultry ball, it was wonderful to watch and lots of fun, and the food, awesome.
Food is always awesome there. Then, of course, they had they had that ride for those two children at Make-A-Wish. That was, I guess, an outstanding event.
Tina Saito, you are the winner of the Dinner for Two at Anselmo. That's right, Tina Saito, and I will be calling you after the show to let you know how you get in touch with the folks at Anselmo. They're waiting for the winners. And I'm waiting to get word from them if we're going to get to give another one away. We also have two tickets to give away to the second person that was chosen, which was the 12th person. And I could not understand this name on the message machine. I think it's Leon Johnstead. And I do have a number. I'll call you. But there's two tickets this Friday night to join us here at KCNR at the Riverfront Playhouse. We are going to take a group of people, and it should be a lot of fun to go see Club Dead. So, but Tina, you are the winner of Dinner for Two at an Anselmo's. And as we go through the next couple hours here on our show, we're going to talk about some other things that are happening out there. But for now...
Do you really care how the rich people spend their money? I mean, really, do you? Do you care how rich people spend their money?
Yeah, define rich.
How about, you know, real rich? I mean, the rich. Top 5% of the Americans. You know how, do you think it's important that we should care how they spend their money? I mean, it's their money. Well, right now, it looks like consumer spending accounts that the rich account for roughly two-thirds of U.S. gross domestic product, or the value of all goods and services produced in the nation. And spending by the rich now accounts for the largest share of consumer outlays in the last 20 years. According to new research from Moody's Analytics, the top 5% of Americans by income account for 37% of all consumer outlays. And outlays include consumer spending, interest payments on installment debt, and transfer payments. By contrast, the bottom 80% by income account for 39.5% of all consumer outlays. So I guess that really shouldn't be a surprise, since the rich earn a disproportionate share of income. The top 10% of earners captured about half of all income as of 2007. This is according to economist Emmanuel Says and Thomas Piketty. Now, I don't know who these people are. They could just be, you know, people that make up statistics. What's the old saying? People make up statistics out of the air 75% of the time, like I just did. What they're saying is it is how much of our economy, our consumer economy, is now dependent on the rich, and how that share has increased as the U.S. emerges from recession. In the third quarter of 1990, the top 5% accounted for 25% of consumer outlays. and it dipped in 2003 and again in 2008, but started surging in 2009 amid the greatest bull market rally in history, where it raised nearly 50% in the last 9 months of time. So what they're saying is, I think what it is that they have not been spending in a long time, and now they couldn't handle it any longer. So the pent-up energy to spend was unleashed. Well, the question is, you know, you get into this thing about, oh, the rich, you know, but let's tax the rich. Well, but the rich buy a lot of the things, and they drive the economy in such a way as that then you have to have the goods, so then you have to have, you know, people building the goods, and then you have to have, you know, if the wealthy, you know, want to increase their wealth, they increase their businesses. And when they increase their businesses, they increase hiring, they increase number of people put back to work, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the United States is in terrible shape in this recession. Another 475,000 people went to the went and declared for unemployment for the first time. We made a total of 71,000 jobs last month. I think that was it, and that was, you know, it has to be just to keep up to where the economy should be. You're supposed to be making 300,000 jobs a month. So that's how bad it is.
Well, you know.
And you just can't keep beating up on the rich on this thing. I mean, I'm not rich. Of course, what's rich? I mean, is rich $250,000 a year now, or is it $1 million a year? They're calling, the Obama administration is calling rich anybody that makes $250,000 a year or more.
Well,
which is like two cops in New York.
Is it my imagination? Help me here. When I grew up, usually if your parent worked for the government or had a nice paying job for the state, and they invested money, and by the time they had their 401k and their retirement and their Social Security, I mean, just a normal person who started with nothing could have acquired $1 million or so or less, like 9, 8, 7, it's somewhere in there, just from somebody who started out of college with nothing but did live the American dream.
Yeah, I think so.
So $1 million, when you think about it, you know, really, I mean, we all think that's huge, but really in today's society and the taxes and everything else, $1 million does not go far. I mean, I know that sounds really ridiculous, but
if you buy a house that, you know, that, okay, just say like your parents. Your parents bought a house 20 years ago that's appreciated up to $750,000. Okay, so they're, you know, and they own the house. So it's their net wealth right there is $750,000 plus the other things they have, which pushes them up to over $1 million. And yet your parents are not, quote, millionaires.
They started,
even
they
though
did,
they are worth that
they
much.
They did not have backing from their
nothing.
Family,
no,
and
they
started
nothing.
With two quarters.
Yeah.
I think they started with $200.
No,
but my point is that now the housing, we were just there this weekend, in that neighborhood, which is in Granite Bay, they've lost, the house
half.
Is now worth half of what it would have been 2 years ago. I think it's gone down like $250,000 as far as, you know, the assessment, tax assessment.
So then they can join the club with everybody else that's up here. Anyway, we have to take a quick break. We're going to come back talking about, you know, even though it doesn't touch us here, it kind of touches us in such a way about building a mosque at Ground Zero and then the number of other mosques that are trying to be built throughout the United States. Let's discuss that one just a little bit. Let's call Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. KCNR 1460, it's Carl and Linda Bott at 725. It is August 9th. It's still early in August. We're still doing okay. And it's going to be cooler today.
It's going to be beautiful. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Don't forget, August 18th at 8 p.m., they're going to be having a cigar night. And you're going to get a free one free cigar of your choice. And they're going to have Churchill, Corona Largo, Toro, all these names I'm not really familiar with. But if you've not been to a cigar night there, it's pretty spectacular. And that's going to be from 6 to 8 p.m. on August 18th. Mark your calendar for that. I also want to, let's see, it's 7:26. Tell you what, let's take the first caller, 605-4567. We're going to be giving two tickets away for Club Dead this Friday night to join Carl and I and Casey and our gang. Two tickets for Club Dead. So give us a call, 605-4567, Friday night's performance of the Riverfront Playhouse, a musical, comedy musical, fun show from what I hear, Club Dead.
You know, when we talk about what's going on in New York at the mosque, the building of the mosque, and why there's been a huge outcry for it, about it, you know, people say, you know, America is the home of the free and the brave, and that we, you know, we practice religious freedom here, and why not allow the mosque there? And then you hear the other argument is, well, you know, we don't have to prove to the world that we are good people. We do it by our actions. If there is a problem in the world, we show up. We show up with first aid. We show up with all different types of aid and money to help people that are suffering throughout the world. And the question is we will build a mosque when Saudi Arabia or some of the other countries that are Muslim will let us build a Catholic church or a Pentecostal church or a Episcopal church in downtown Riyadh. They have close to a million Christians in Saudi Arabia, from what I understand, in that general area there, that are workers and such, but they don't allow churches to be built there. According to the sources I have. So the big thing is building a mosque on the edge of Ground Zero, what does it prove? And it's going to be a multi-level mosque. It's not going to be, you know, something that is, you know, two or three stories. This thing is going to be tall. It's going to overlook the site. And people whose families were destroyed there, have a real problem with the fact of putting a mosque overlooking this. Are they being too sensitive about it? Should we just allow mosques to be built? Now, one of the things that we have learned about the number of mosques that were built, and they started back in the early 60s by the Wahhabists out of Saudi Arabia, who are a very fundamental part of the Islamic religion, is that in many cases throughout the world, mosques were being used to ferment anti-Americanism, anti-Westernism, you know, things that if you were a Westerner that believed in certain codes, that they cannot go along with that, and it started, in some cases, a very strict Islamic fundamentalism blowback toward the United States. Well, we've got to take a break here, and we're going to be discussing this later on in the show. There's been quite a few stories about it. The idea of having a mosque in your neighborhood, is that okay? Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Good morning, Reading. 7:34 in the morning. You know, I love this song, Don't Stop Believing, by the famous Journey, Steve Perry on vocals. This morning I read an article. Well, there's a couple things I want to share with you, but this morning I read an article, and I just think it's a feel-good. If you haven't read the paper or you've had something that has been stolen from you or misplaced, this is really wonderful. Thank you, ladies. On Friday, July 30th, I lost my purse in the parking lot of Walmart. When I reached for my purse, when I arrived at my doctor's appointment, only to find it wasn't in my car, I knew immediately what I had done. In a panic, I'm sure we've all been there, I raced back to the parking lot. All rows looked the same. I was running up and down the lot when this gentleman asked me if I was all right. I said, I'm in a panic. I've lost my purse and my husband's going to be so mad. He said, what color was my purse? And I told him it was brown. He said, the two ladies had just turned in a purse at the desk inside. Thank heavens. When I went inside to the desk, a clerk had told me to identify my purse and then gave it back to me. The purse was just like I left it, unzipped, cell phone right on top. She says, I can't express my thanks enough to these ladies, whoever you are. Someone was watching over me, and it was you. Thanks again. And this is a really neat reminder because I will say, my mother, I gave her a diamond ring, I'm sure maybe 20, 30 years ago, I don't know, and she wore it every day. And somehow, when she was at TJ Maxx or someplace, the ring fell off her finger. And my mother went back and figured, okay, that's it. Someone's going to find it, and they're going to sell it or they're going to steal it. And I just want to say, I want to instill in your minds today and share with you, don't think that. I can tell you a personal experience of leaving my wallet on a United Airlines flight, and I thought that was it. Somebody's going to steal it. It's going to go bye-bye. And all of my credit cards, I stopped everything. I had went and got to get a new driver's license. And lo and behold, in a UPS box, 2 weeks later, I had my entire wallet returned to me. They went inside my wallet and sent it to the address on my driver's license. So never give up. Don't always think that someone's going to steal. And
they find a diamond ring.
They find a diamond ring. My mom just needs to go back to TJ Maxx, and she needs to write a report, say exactly what was on the ring, how many diamonds was on the ring, the size of the ring, the look of the ring, and say, please call. But she just thought, well, someone's just going to steal it. Well, that's maybe somebody found it and took it to the front desk. In the front desk, she needs to check every single day. But you can't instill, people might just think it's just, oh, well, that's it, it's done. And so I wanted to instill that with you. You know, we're talking about getting back to, you know, a pure thought, or maybe like a clean heart. And what's happening right now with many people, because our world just seems to be more complex. And why is it that the reading population and our novels are leaning towards, you know, a kind of a more simpler time, such as the Pennsylvania Dutch, the Amish? And it seems like there's a popular series, such as Beverly Lewis's Season of Grace, Wanda Brunstetter's Indiana Cousins, and Cindy Woodsmall's Sister of the Quilt. It's about Amish falling in love while grappling with the religious taboos and forbidden temptations. Now, you might ask yourself, who are the Amish? In a 21st century world, they're the strictest among the 19th century lifestyle. They are a religious, Christian-based farming community that shuns most modern conveniences, such as phones and TVs. They travel by horse and buggy. They marry among their own faith. The women wear bonnets and modest drab clothing. The men wear brimmed hats and grow their beards. Children are taught in one-room schoolhouses, and education ends in the eighth grade. Traditional courtship rituals include Sunday evening singing group gatherings where boys and girls can meet, and premarital sex is verboten. Simpler times.
I think I kind of like that book. I kind of like the book, what was it, Wrestling Under the Quilt? That wasn't it.
Well,
Sisterhood of the Quilt.
Well, they do.
I think Bob's Amish.
Well, they do have. It's called bundling. While the kids are courting, they let them
bundle. What's a bundle?
For instance, they can go upstairs and they can bundle in bed with their clothes on.
What's bundling?
Well, the parents
tuck
them in.
They tuck them in. So
they're with their clothes on, but they can have. It's interesting. If the family acknowledges it, they've got their clothes on. It's a time for them to, as they're courting, to see how compatible they are, and they are under a quilt.
Hey, Bad Bob, get back, get into this, Bad Bob. Are you Amish?
Talk about a test.
Are you Amish, Bad Bob?
I cleaned out more than my share of horse stalls in my day, but no.
You have a beard though, and you live simply.
Well, I have a beard, but that could mean I'm.
Brenda says you like
religious
bundling.
Sect too. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Brenda says you like bundling.
Okay, can we get past the bundling? I want to know: have you been in the Amish community before?
I have.
Okay.
There's a number of little towns up there in Intercourse, Pennsylvania, and those that are, you know, no, that's the home.
I know it
right
is.
Right up there, and you can, and they make a good living off those people. They make furniture, and people buy a lot of their furniture for big prices.
Yeah, they've got some interesting names in Pennsylvania of their towns, trust me. If I can't even say it over the air, because if you just turned on, it would be, like, not appropriate to say the word And then you turn off and, you know, in and out of the car. It's like, what's she talking about? But, no, I have an Amish quilt. I went into an Amish house. I have Amish-made things.
Were you Amish?
No, but I was fascinated. One day, my mother and father, we were driving through Amish territory, and we stopped at a roadside where they were selling goods. The kid had no shoes on. Everything's made by hand. No buttons. There are no buttons and no zippers. I don't know what they did. But anyway, so when you went to go take a picture, they turn away like, do not take my picture. That's not allowed. But, you know, it's just wonderful to see how, you know, what a community, and that they've kept their faith. They still are driving their buggies on the street, and they have stayed true to their faith. So, anyway, on that note, we're going to take a break. I just thought maybe it would be something inspirational for you to think about today. Not everybody is a thief. Not everyone's going to steal. If you've lost something, there's a good chance it may come back to you. Do your good deed today. Oh, we're going to take a break here. This is Carl and Linda Bott. You're listening to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460.
Hi, this is...
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and DeBott. Good morning. It is 7:45 in the morning on August 9th. And this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite out there on Airport Road, right down from Burrito Bandito. Doug Tooley has been there helping his customers since 1985, a veteran of the 82nd Airborne. He gives the home theater systems. He does Dish TV. He's got a deal for you if you want lifetime Dish HD. You give him a call at 244-1988, and Doug's the man to talk to. He's a local boy that has done good, and that if you want to keep your money local while getting great service, this is the man you see. B&T Satellite, right down from Burrito Bandito on Airport Road.
Yes, it's currently 67 degrees. It's going to be high today of 92. In case you're just tuning in.
It's balmy.
It is a little balmy.
I have to put on a sweater.
It's fabulous. 7:46 in the morning. And let's go to the phones. Good morning, Jim. You are live on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl and Linda.
Commander.
I had a couple things. The first thing is, I understand you were talking about the Amish.
Yes.
I was raised in a little town right in the middle of the Amish settlement in western Pennsylvania. The most congenial, wonderful people that there are. They just have the old world thoughts of not having all these modern conveniences. They are the ones in Enon Valley, Pennsylvania, no electricity or anything else. One thing they do use, they use belt power off of tractors to run their thrashing machines, but their binders that they pick up all the grain with, or their hay loaders, that's all done with horse and buggy. Oh, years ago, in the late 40s, they ordered a new Alice Chalmers tractor, the biggest one you could get on wheels, and when it came in, they went up, had the shop weld on a set of double trees, hooked their team to it, and towed it down to the farm, and then whenever they wanted to use it for belt power, they'd pull it around and do that.
So they got it home by bringing it home by horse power.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And they also were people very direct. It's sort of funny, but I worked with my uncle, and we used to what they call neighbor. We'd go to your place, and we'd fill silo, or we would thresh grain or whatever. And I counted about as half a man. I was about 14 years old. And these people are, as I say, are very direct. And they said, my uncle went home to do the chores, the milking and all, and he left me there. And Joe Yoder come over and said, well, young man, would you stay for supper? Well, my mother always taught me to sort of beg off, and then if people insisted, why, go ahead and stay. So I said, no, I guess I'll go back over to Uncle Will's. He said, okay. And I missed out on supper all the way around.
Oh.
Anyway, that's one thing. The other thing is, we had the pleasure, Norm Hoskin and I had the pleasure of going with MIAT to the Walmart distribution center Saturday morning, and I just can't say enough about that. The Walmart heart they have, they go out if there's anybody, little kids that are, well, I hate to use the word terminal, but don't have much of a chance, why they get them and bring them in and give them things, almost like this Make-A-Wish thing. And Saturday morning, there were two from down around the Corning area, and one has leukemia, 7 years old, and the other one has a heart problem. And the MIAP with the motorcycles go down, and there was fire engines and the Walmart trucks, and it's all put on by the Walmart truck drivers. And they entertained these little boys, gave them presents, and we all, but anyway, there wasn't a dry eye in the place.
I know the MIAP was involved with it in Patriot Guard and such that, give the kids a ride. I know this was such a wonderful event.
It is, and if you hear of it again, whether you're involved with a group or not, make a point of going there. The community just threw out their heart and their arms, and these two little kids there wasn't a dry eye in the house, and I just wanted to make sure everybody heard about it, because and the MIAP, what can we say about them?
Well, you know, I appreciate you calling, Commander, because we had asked earlier, you know, if anybody had gone there, so it sounds like it was a complete success in the sense of giving those two little boys some happiness and joy.
Amen.
And, you know,
yes.
give them a little refuge right then.
All right. Well, you guys have a great day and a wonderful
you.
Week.
Well, thank you,
Commander.
For your great
you.
Spirit, Jim.
All right. This is Carl on the Bot Free Fire Radio. We've got to take a quick break here. We come back. Our guest at 8 o'clock will be Dr. Ray John. Our guests this week include, by the way, tomorrow we're going to have Jim Reed in, who's running against Wally Herger for Congress. Wednesday, Curtis and Jackie Jolly. We're going to be talking social media marketing, which this is a huge new thing. We're starting to see more and more about their experts in it. And, of course, Thursday, Ken Murray will be here. And I'm sure everybody's got a few questions for Ken. He was on Doug Craig's show yesterday on Wake Up Call. And it was an interesting show. You can take a look at it there on our archives. We have that. And then Friday, of course, will be kind of our catch-up day where we catch up on all those things that everybody's interested in but we haven't had a chance to talk about. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Are you
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning. It is 7:55 in the morning. It is August 9th, and it's going to be a great day today. It's going to be, what, 92?
No, currently 69. Yeah, it's going to be 92 in the lower 90s this morning. Hey, by the way, first caller again, because we had a caller get those tickets and then call back and say, I got to babysit my grandson. So, hey, that happens, but we've got two tickets. You can join us Friday night with Club Dead.
Yeah, they're going to have a bunch of people come with
us. Yeah, so we're going to. So please join us. But call us, the first caller, at 605-4567. We'll get two tickets and be sitting with us for the performance of Club Dead. Club Dead, from what I understand, should be funny, written by Lisa and Bill Collins. It's supposed to be quite the funny, cute musical comedy show, and that's for the Riverfront Playhouse. So give us a call.
You don't have to sit right next to us, though. No. I mean, if you don't want to, you can sit down at the other end. But you do get free tickets for this. And we do. We'll open it up there maybe a little bit before and after. And, you know, we like to say goodbye to somebody who's a friend of ours. Phil's leaving town today. And he's going to take a job we can't even talk about because it has not been announced. And so, but he's on his way to another state.
Yeah, and it's going to be a great job.
And it's but Phil is a former business owner right here in town. He's been a listener with us for many years. well, many as we've been on.
It's not like he's going to be a mercenary or something like that.
Oh, no, it's like a real job.
I mean, you know, no guns involved.
No. But then last night at the going-away dinner that we had, it was a small, intimate affair, you might say. We found out, you know, it's amazing what you find out sitting around the table about people, such as how the physical properties of what a peach cobbler can do for people. And how tart a key lime pie can be, and within what it does to you. You know, these are just little things. But we did have at the table Dave and Barbara.
Right.
Congratulations
on your marriage.
Who just got married, and they've known each other for 47 years. But they were in the paper with the, you know, they have this huge garden. So Dave and Barbara, happy anniversary.
The Culps.
Happy anniversary, and we were so glad to see you last night.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
You know, when, we've got a couple minutes here, and what I was just wanted to hit was one other thing, too, and we might even talk about this while Dr. Ray John, who is sitting here, is about Social Security. Paid out more this month than it made. Now, this is kind of a surprise, because all the estimates that they had made was that wasn't supposed to happen for years. And it said more people filed for Social Security in 2009 than any year in history, and there's a marked increase in the number receiving reduced benefits because they filed ahead of their full retirement age. Now, why do you think this is? Could it be because everybody doesn't have a job out there, and you're seeing people that are 60 or 61 or 62 that would like to work, but they can't? Nearly 72% of men who filed opted for early benefits in 2009, up from 58% the previous year. And more women also filed, 74% in 2009 compared with 64% in the previous year. So, you know, this is huge, which is one of the reasons that Social Security is having its first ever shortfall this year as people come in. There, according to the strain, adding to the strain are reduced tax collections sapped by the country's historic unemployment, still at 9.5%. And if you think it's going to get any better, I don't think you're right. I think it's going to get worse. So, Social Security is paying out more than it's taken in. You know Medicare's in trouble. And now the Obama administration wants to drop, the health care, the whole health care plan on us. And the cap and trade, and the state of California is doing their best to drive our electric utilities up with this green nonsense that 30% of your power has to be green by 2012. Are you crazy?
Well, we got our new bill.
Whoa!
And it was substantially higher.
I'm going to wet Snooky down his wear around my neck and act it as you know, a cooling effect.
It was the highest bill of our history.
Right. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It is 8:05 in the morning. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. It's August 9th. We're streaming. And we've got the chat room up and been listening to people who have been writing disparaging comments, huh? That's okay. We're going to jump into that one there. So,
want to congratulate Tina Saito again. You are the winner of those two, Dinner for Two out in Anselmo.
And
I'll be calling you after the show and giving you the number out there, and it's whatever night you guys want to go out. So, congratulations.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Jim,
hello.
Good morning. Thanks for waiting.
You bet. Hey, I heard you talking about Social Security.
Yeah.
You forgot to mention all the drug addicts and alcoholics that are out there collecting Social Security, and all the men and women who are their 20s and 30s that you know, collect Social Security too. And one more thing, did you know if your kid has ADD, you can get Social Security for that kid? And a lot of times, I believe those kids are misdiagnosed.
I think that, you know, when they first started Social Security, it was to be a supplement for elderly people, a supplement. And it became such a huge pot of money that they started getting into it. Like back, I think it was in 65 or 66, then they introduced a couple of other things. And, you know, it just keeps growing like that. And you're right. You know, how much of this money would still be there if it wasn't given to everybody, you know? It's just, it was, again, poor husbandry by people in power in Congress.
Yeah, there's just a lot of people out there taking advantage of it that really don't deserve it. So I just wanted to give a shout-out, and I'll let you go now.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jim, for your phone call.
Thanks, folks. Bye.
Okay, hey, our guest today, Dr. Ray John.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're here talking about, I know that Haven Humane is going through a period here about food. You know, we've been hearing about this, and we wanted to talk to you about dog food. Plus, there's other questions we want to ask.
Sure. I give away about 250 pounds a day of dog food, mainly to help people keep their pets so they won't surrender them. When they surrender them, I get stuck with the cost of feeding them, sheltering them, and taking care of them. And it's very expensive, so it's easier to give people the food, but it's now just finally leveling off where we're just not getting the donations. So as of last week, we're now asking people when they come in to give us a small donation so I can buy more food, you know.
Okay.
Okay, so we're putting the word out right now on this Monday morning, this ninth day of August, that you, being the head of Haven Humane, need... are in need of donations monetarily, as well as if somebody goes to, let's say, Costco and they buy their family thing, just get another big bag of dog food and then drop it off at Haven Humane, because you've got places to store the food.
Right, I do, and I need dog food, puppy food, cat food, and kitten food. They're four separate categories, and it's just, people have been really, really generous, but I think people think, well, the program's been going on a while. The need is still there. It's still 250 pounds a day, whether I have it or not, you know. So.
Well, I will never forget, and I do share this when I go up to the doggy park, about how clean the facility is, and how we took us on that tour, and we were able to go in the back where we could watch where, for instance, there was one of the dogs was from a puppy mill. And she was being what is called neutered, or what is it for a dog, for a female dog?
It's spayed.
Spayed, thank you. It's Monday morning, and I'm a little slow. But anyway, so she had been in a puppy mill and had several litters. And if she was a, if I'm not mistaken, she was an orange Pomeranian. And that day you had, your cages were filled with orange Pomeranians because they were from a puppy farm.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible for us to see. But very enlightening for us to see, because they were being taken care of. It was a great operation. It was very clean. And you guys were doing what you had to do on your end in order to get these puppies back out without, you know, killing them, getting them back out on the street where they're ready to go, being adopted, and having them spayed and shots and all that. Now, how much does it cost per pet, again, to get them in the condition to put them back into a full adoption?
It costs $394 for me to spay or neuter a dog, give it its shots, give it its tags, take care of everything that it needs in insurance, and I charge $135, so I'm a terrible businessman, but it's working out. We had 7,000 animals come through last year alone, and I was able to get a vast majority back out in the streets.
Well, congratulations on that. And that's why we wanted you here today, to just shine a light on that.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to start, got a number of questions that are flowing in here that we can ask Dr. Ray here. And, you know, things that from before, I think, you know, that may have been true before, no longer true. So maybe some changes, but we'll find out as soon as we get back. This is Carl Underbot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi,
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. The chat room is getting hot.
Uh-huh.
We've got that up and running. You know, every week we try to do something real. You know, hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. That's right, Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. DC, Tim, and the man in black will cut your hair, do a great job. They're not going to put in that styling gel in there, maybe a little butch wax. I don't think you have that much problem there, Dr. Ray.
Yeah. No, I
mean, maybe they'll do that on your eyebrows or something there. But go in there. It's, you know, great ambiance. It's ladies, don't be afraid to drop your sons off over there. They can read car magazines, National Geographic, and learn things like we all did at that age. Remember, it's Man's Last Stronghold. It's written right on the window, so it must be.
Hey, you know what was brought to my attention from Dr. Ray John? It's 8-9-10 today.
8-9-10. Oh. You know what? Hey, Bob, take over. I'm going to go lay down. This is too much for me to do.
8-9-10. Currently okay. 71 degrees. It's going to be high today of 92.
Let's go to the questions. Barn cats. Do y'all give out barn cats?
Yes.
What is a barn cat?
Well, technically, a barn cat is one who lives in the barn or the field and keeps rodents off the property. And there's been a misconception for years, Carl, about this. I will adopt out a barn cat as long as the people provide a place for it to sleep with water and food. What people used to do is they would get a cat and they'd let it outside and let it fend for itself.
Mm-hmm.
So if it didn't catch mice, it died, you know.
And they just treated it like it was a feral cat.
Yeah, and so what we say is if you have a place in your barn, a place in your garage, where the cat knows it can get food and get water and safety, you're more than welcome to have it. It's just taking a cat and basically throwing it outside in the field, say, good luck, take care of the mice, and hoping it's a good hunter. That's wrong. It's inhumane. And that's the difference.
Okay. All right. About how many cats do you have-ish right now at the shelter?
Well, this is a scoop today, exactly zero. We had 140 yesterday. We have been infected with a horrible strain of panleukopenia.
Oh, my gosh.
We picked up two cats the other day as strays. They came in. They were dormant. There was nothing wrong. And they literally infected the entire place. And yesterday, tragically, we had to put all of our cats down. We have to infect the place over the next 7 days, seven nights, clean it, bleach it. We have to completely scrub it down and then start over again. There's two places in Reading that have been the sources of panleukopenia. It's a very virulent disease, and there's nothing you can do about it. If we
what's it do?
Yeah,
what
I want to know about the disease.
Symptoms?
Well,
yeah,
they start vomiting blood very badly, and they're writhing, and they're in agony.
Oh, my gosh.
And they come in, Carl, dormant, you know, when we pick them up.
Right.
And then they're very, very sick. And there's two areas, one near West Street, one near Magnolia, that have had this strain. And once they hit, there's nothing you can do.
We're by West Street.
We're up there.
Yeah, but
it only affects cats.
It affects cats, and what happens is they're sick. They're already infected, but they infect everything else near them, and so we're trying our best to work in the two areas that we've seen them, and trap those cats and test them. But it's a horrible, horrible.
So it's contagious, but. Explain to us, is it through food?
Is it airborne?
I'm not a veterinarian,
okay.
But I believe it's airborne, because all I do know is that they get it, it's in their system, it lays dormant, they look perfectly fine, they're terrific, you know, they're just normal, and then all of a sudden they're pumping blood and they're bad.
Wow.
And what happened is we had two cases on Friday, and we selectively put down part of the thing, praying that it was over, and by yesterday two more went. And when you've had four, you can't take the chance for the sake.
No,
if we had put them out there, we could have done real damage.
Yeah.
And it's a real problem with herd medicine, because when you're keeping 100 to 120 cats, together.
Right.
We constantly are checking them, but you never know. With dormancy, you just don't know. And then when it happens, there'll be no cats available through Wednesday, and then we'll start picking them up.
The disinfection process.
It's horrible. They go through with big bleach hoses, and we hose everything down, including the ceilings, the walls, mm-hmm. the floors. I mean, it's...
Well, you've got to kill everything that's
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, you've got to go from scratch. And we're running big air pumps through there now to try to get it done. This will be my third time in 2 years that we've been through it. And all three times it was a stray that came in, and the stray looked fine, was dormant, and then they went out.
Yeah.
So it's a real tragedy. It's a real tragedy.
Yeah,
and the tragedy is there are people out there that let their cats out in the street in the daytime, don't have any idea how bad this stuff is.
Well, can you vaccinate against it?
No. So the main thing is to catch the ones that have it and get those and get them down.
Well, I could tell you where we live, we've got probably five or six cats that are neighbor's cats.
That wander around.
That mm-hmm. they love to cruise and they like to, you know, go in our yard, and
yeah.
What am I going to do? I don't even know exactly which one belongs to which house,
yeah.
But they cruise, and they like to just go to the bathroom in different places,
sure.
at their leisure.
Yeah, and our hope is to work with people in the next month or so to try to get to those specific areas and trap the ones that are running loose and test them, because
yeah.
We've got a... It's a problem. It's the same thing right now. There's a new strain of parvo going out.
Wow.
That's significantly worse than the normal parvo, and it lays dormant, and then all of a sudden it erupts. And so for your dogs and cats, you've got to keep them vaccinated, and I always suggest don't let them run loose.
Well, see, we need to hear about that, of course, with Benton Dog Park, those people who bring up puppies that are not vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so...
It's dangerous for them.
It's so dumb. It's so, it's like you said, dangerous.
Yeah, good.
We got to take a quick break. Carl on the bot. When we get back, we're going to talk about a couple of the questions that have flowed through on the chat, on our chat machine here about...
chat machine.
Yeah, about adopting dogs and how things have changed a little bit.
Okay.
Carl on the bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Hi.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bott. It's August 9th, it's 8:24 in the morning. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we've got the chat room going. We don't get a lot of chance to jump on there and chat back and forth, but we do take your suggestions and questions, even if they are coached in such a way that it's an insult. That's okay. We can take insults. We have thick skin here, and if we don't like it, we just turn off the chat machine. Dr. Ray John is our guest, and we're talking the head of Haven Humane, who's been doing yeoman's work now for years. The question was, and this came up, I remember, a couple yeah. years ago, was somebody wanted to adopt a dog. It had parvo, or it had a heart disease or something. They were willing to pay for all the expenses, but right. Haven Humane put the dog down.
Right.
Traditionally
in the past, when a dog had heartworm disease, because of the, you know, it can take months to cure it. It takes thousands of dollars, and I just don't have the storage space for that. The dog was put down. After a lady had an incident about a year ago, we changed our policy. If someone comes in and accepts full responsibility, financial for it, we'll take care of it. What people have happened, though, Carl, is they've come in and said, well, I'll take it. Then they find out it's an advanced case of heartworm, and then they find out that it runs into thousands of dollars in several months. All of a sudden, they go, oh, I get it. You know,
yeah.
But if you've
offered it, it's up there. If you want to take care of this dog and keep it alive,
yeah.
that's fine, but you just have to take all responsibility
right.
for it.
Right, and, you know, we are a nonprofit, and I'm supposed to somehow survive, and I can't fix every single animal that comes through there.
No, I understand that. You know. Like Linda said, we had a we had our tour through there, and it's not an easy job. Hmm. I mean, we saw beautiful animals there that you just know that some of them are just not going to make it.
The woman who had a heart issue and had two beautiful labs that had just been surrendered, we kept thinking, oh my God, I hope they it's not like one dog is better than the other dog.
Yeah.
I just would find it's just got to be, these are little souls,
yeah.
And it's just just disheartening. However, the reality is that it's a shelter, and when cats come in or dogs come in, you don't have 1,000 rooms that you can isolate, test, wait, or the manpower to go, let me go through $500 worth of testing, blood testing, urinalysis, mm-hmm. coat. Here's the reality. You get a stray that comes in, you pick it in. I understand how this can happen.
Yeah. One good thing to know, Linda, is the national average of dogs getting out of shelters is 50%. 76% of my dogs get back out. So 3 out of 4 make it, and I'm proud of that figure. Cats, nationally, it's around 32% make it out because there's just so many. But
We need to get back into the spay your pets.
Oh, please.
I mean, we go up and we see dogs up at Benton Dog Park. They haven't been cut.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's like, well, it's why? And they're not like they're breeding animals because they don't look like they're breeding type animals. They just
But they try to ride everything up there. I mean, they are a different, they still have that aggressive.
But the point is that they don't, that people don't do this, and they can have it done.
Yeah.
And what it does is just saves from having to kill thousands of animals a year.
Last year, Dr. Brawny, my veterinarian, did 4,300 spays and neuters by herself.
We watched her in action. She is quick.
Unbelievable. Well, people come to study her because she does 30 to 40 a day. And
we were watching that.
She's a machine, man.
She is, and
in a good sense.
If I could get another veterinarian as good, we could do 10,000 a year. And that's one of my goals before I retire is to
10,000 neuters and spays.
Are you listening, you veterinarian that might be retired and want to have a little extra something besides Social Security?
I think they probably do.
My heart's broken about Social Security. I'm 64. I'm scared there won't be money when I finally retire.
Oh, really? Oh. Well, Linda is 10 years younger than me, so she can continue working while
I'm with you. I just think of the way we're going. I don't know if it's something I'm counting on.
About that a little bit, too, if you don't mind getting into that. When we read the facts, you understand it, that the percentages of people that are putting in for it is because they don't have jobs.
So
they need something to supplement their income.
I put an ad in Craigslist the other day for a simple adoption position, part-time, 26 hours a week, like 8:30 an hour, and I've gotten so many. It's scary. Yeah. College degrees, advanced degrees.
Yeah,
wanting an 8:30 a job an hour.
We've got to take a hard break here. But, I understand that people, PhDs are looking for the In-N-Out Burger jobs because it's a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. Join us after the news.
Good morning, North State. It's 73 degrees. Going to be 92 today. We're taking your call, 605-4567, or our chat room is open. That is KCNR1460.com. Go to the chat room and let us know what's on your mind as well. Weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. By the way, you might want to check out their website and find out. There's some really interesting packages that they're doing now where you can go up and, you know, have a fabulous weekend or a night away with on the ranch. They're doing some
beautiful rooms,
dinner. It's a great little getaway, so you might want to check that out. Let's go to the phones. Elizabeth, good morning. You are on KCNR.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great.
Great. I guess we're supposed to have a really nice, cool week ahead of us.
That's what I understand. I think
this has been quite a nice summer, actually.
It has been. It hasn't been as hot as it could be. We had all the rain, so the lakes filled up. And
except for our electric bill.
Oh, yeah, there is that.
But I think, you know what, unless some things are changed, which is not what we're talking about, but unless some things are changed, it's going to go up 10 to 15% every year anyway.
Yeah.
So you've got something going with the...
Yes, we have something quite beneficial to the community going on tonight at the Reading Tea Party, which, as you know, is located at the Bonneview Baptist Destiny Fellowship Church on Bonneview Road, and that's kind of catty corner across the street from the Wind River Mini Mart gas station. We meet at 6 o'clock every Monday night, but tonight we're going to be having as many of the city council candidates as are available to come into our forum, and they're going to each spend 5 minutes telling us a little bit about themselves and why they're running for city council, and we will be providing scorecards to all of the attendees, which allows folks to make little notes about each person, because there are so many running, and it's kind of hard to keep them straight sometimes. So this will give folks a chance to make notations and write down their impressions of each person after they've spoken. And then as we get a little further into the next few weeks, we'll then start the actual debates between the candidates.
Yeah, I understand. I heard that was going on. How many people do you have that are, say they're showing up tonight?
Well, I have not gotten an actual count, and a lot of times it's kind of a last-minute thing with people, but I know that we probably have at least 8.
Okay. Well, as we've done in the past, we will have all the city council candidates on here one at a time for an hour, so that they've got an hour to explain what they stand for, how they're going to fix things, why they should be elected, what makes them different, which, by the way, that is a hard question when you ask them that sometimes. Well, why you? We've had candidates in the past, their eyes get really big. And anyway, but we also, I believe, the debates are also important, and we're going to be hosting probably at least one in October, too. We'll run it out over the, we'll hold it in the larger area and put it out over the radio, the internet, and archive it so people can see it. And we'll YouTube it also.
And you know what's really, and ours also will be on YouTube. In fact, all of our meetings are now broadcast on YouTube, so anyone that wants to go back and see what we're doing on Monday nights always has that opportunity. But, you know, between what you're doing and what we're doing, you know, it's so educational and so beneficial for the voters to they need to take advantage of these opportunities to find out who's running for elected office in their community, because it all starts locally. So I really encourage people to come out.
Well, I hope that people, before they vote, have taken the time to learn about the people and what they stand for, because there are some really, really differences in the candidates this time.
There really are. Oh, there really are. Yeah. And, you know, there is a really hot-button issue going on right now, not only at the local level, but at the state and the national level as well, and that is public employee benefits and retirements that are bankrupting the country. And this is an opportunity for people to see which candidates are supporting that and which aren't. You know, we all need fiscal responsibility. We're in desperate need of fiscal responsibility at all levels of government, and so that's where this is going to be a really interesting eye-opener with these city council candidates to see who's supporting.
Well, you know, people can change things at that city and county level relatively easy. Sometimes they can change state. The further away you get, the less change you can make.
That's
hey, Elizabeth, we've got to take a break. Thank you so much
Thank
for calling.
You. You have a great week.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
Well, you know, Ray, when we get back, I know we're talking Haven Humane, but you have been plugged into this city and this county for a long time. Maybe we can get a couple of other questions we can throw at
you. Sure.
We'll get them also from the chat, but also, you know, things that, you know, that you're seeing in Reading that's coming down the road. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Good morning, Reading, North State, Anderson, Red Bluff, Cottonwood,
you name
Shasta.
It, we're there.
Shasta City, Lake, on the lake, this all over the place. How are you this morning? 73 degrees here. This is Carlin. This is. I love it. It's so us.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Finest walk-in humidor in the state. They are having a cigar event on the 19th, I believe. The 18th. Where they're going to have it wide open in there. You can go in and learn about different types of cigars and have a free one and smoke it right there in the community room. They also have Espresso Joe's where you can get 45 different types of coffee. Fixed 153 different ways. So I think that so is so many that you could have a different cup of coffee every day for the rest of your life.
Really great beans. By the way, again, congratulations to Tina Seidow, who won the dinner for two out in Samos. We had a drawing. And I was out there last week. And, yes, on the chat room, you can call out to Samos 474-5546. And they're offering where you can go out and have dinner and rooms and I think there's just a few of them. I'm sure that once this gets out, it's just something that's new where you can, do the dinner and stay out there and have wine and not drive back. It's a package.
It's a package.
They're beautiful packages. And like I said, there's only three or four rooms out there, so you might want to take advantage of that. And also, mark your calendars for August 20th and 27th. Rick Hill, Johnny Gonzalez, Lou White, and myself, and Bruce Kalin will be doing jazz out there. Fabulous time to come out there on that Friday night. Come join us. We'll be out there from 6 tonight. That's from 6 to 9 p.m., that's the 20th and the 27th of August.
Our guest is Dr. Ray John from the Haven Humane. He heads that up. We've been talking about the need for food out there. If you're stopping by your favorite large food distribution point, you need to pick up a 25- or 50-pound bag and take it out there. So we can, but you're going to continue on handing it out, of course.
Yeah, we're going to keep it up no matter how I have to figure it out. We're going to, we still have that need.
Well, you've been here a long time.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Ryan. What do you look at? I mean, if Reading's right in the center of a bunch of turmoil, would you say?
Yeah, it comes down to the thing I've seen different in the past 15 years since I got here is there's a lack of civility right now in Reading.
Oh, man.
Whereas at one time in Reading, if you agreed to disagree with someone, it was done politely with a little respect. This last election was an embarrassment. The one coming up is already an embarrassment. People don't know how to discuss things anymore. And Reading's falling. It's becoming like where I came from, San Francisco, in that when you have an idea, it's the only idea and anyone's different is put down. And I think we've got to get some civility back. I think that's what we were famous for. And to me, it's going down the tubes.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that we always like about Reading is that how people take care of each other, and they still do. and so maybe it's just a small percentage. I'm not sure. You know, you can't look at the comments on the blogs and everything because, I mean, people turn it loose. They're anonymous. They don't have to worry about somebody coming to their house, knocking on the door and going, and waving their finger at their face saying, you know, that wasn't very nice, nor was it true. And that's what anonymity gives you when you're in these chat rooms. But the point that you start seeing it in the open.
That's correct.
And certain things that are said, that as soon as they're said, I mean, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
It's too late to take it back, you know. And there are certain words, buzzwords, you know, trough. I mean, that's a buzzword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
you don't want to use that.
The insult to Dick Dickerson, who's one of the most admirable people I've ever met in my life, it's beyond belief. And what's happened is when our leaders speak like that, then it gives the citizenry permission to speak like that. And then so instead of having discussion, we just have put-down sessions.
Yeah.
And
we've
got to change.
And even though, and Missy said later, is that, hey, look, I was just quoting what people have said. And she's right. People, you know, people use that term all the time. I mean, I use it about me.
Yeah.
You know, I eat at the trough. I'm a retired Marine. And so I eat at the trough, I guess. Of course, that trough has got a lot of blood and parts in there that I've left at places. But still, you know, there's better ways of putting it than that. On the other hand, we can't continue doing business the way we are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, you know, and when you talk to the associations, this has got to change. And they agree. Now, their problem is how to do it. You know, this two-tiered thing, which sounds good on the, you know, on the surface, I don't think they like it because once that second tier gets up to a certain point, they can now vote a lot of things different. So it's going to be a mess here. And unfortunately, it's happening throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the first part of being able to get together and answer these questions is to get back into civility where people can sit down and agree to disagree, but you know, bring both their ideas forward, and because there's good ideas on both sides.
Well, you know, I think of I never agreed with Ted Kennedy on almost anything, but the man was loved because even when he disagreed with people, he treated them with respect, and I think we need that kind of
I think that's everything we do. I think that's true. If you treat people, you know, and it sounds trite, as mm-hmm. you would like to be treated,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps then we can start getting some things done. However, there are aspects of what's going on that just draws the line.
Right, right.
And that's the hard part is I don't see how you can even change it so that, okay, you can be part right on this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's look at our culture.
Yeah, because some things are so diametrically, I mean, they're just so big differences.
Right. But let's look at our culture. Let's look at the disrespect in the way people dress,
mm-hmm.
The way people behave outwardly. Let's talk about the television culture and the reality shows. It's vicious. It's nasty.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that's respectful about it. Who takes the high ground? It's almost as if the culture that we're in now in these times, it's about deception. And people will equate that with what's happening in the everybody's you know, through the years, truthfully, have always said, you know, that there's a conspiracy theory what's going on with our government, but that and I will say that some of the press will do this polarizing of the left and the right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so interesting, talking with people who are doctors or psychologists or psychiatrists. They say that when people come to them, they're not saying, are you left or are you right? Are you Democrat or Republican? It comes down to your health, your faith, your family. That's the biggest concern. And we as a community are a family. We must think about, again, not to reiterate, but to how to be able to agree, to disagree, to break bread at the table and not get vicious about it, you know, with demeaning people for a feeling. We've got to take a break. Coming back, we've got calls coming in. I'm going to weigh in some other questions here. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You've seen it on TV. Now see it.
Back down, no, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
And welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. This portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite off Airport Road, right down from Burrito Bandito. Doug Tooley, a veteran of the 82nd Airborne, has been there and helping people since 1985. His phone number there is 244-1988. You want Dish Satellite, you want home theater systems, you want surround sound, call Doug. Guarantees his work, and it's good to know the owner when you ask for something. Our guest, Dr. Ray Johns from Haven Humane. We've been talking about a couple of different things. You know, there's been some things in the past that, you know, that have happened that have been changed at Haven Humane. But the one thing that never changes is the requirement to keep, is that you keep giving out food to people who are in tough economic times and they do not want to give up their animals.
That's right. You know, 6 days a week I give away 250 pounds a day, and we don't ask any questions. 95% of the people are needy, 5% are greedy, and we go for the needy. So we come in, give them the food, and
right.
And it helps me in the long run because I just can't take in any more surrenders.
Okay, you got like 2 minutes left. What do you want our listeners to remember here?
Well, a couple things. One is I've got a couple of big events coming. It's September 11th out of Wind River. I've got the Dog Pound Poker Run, and I'll be back on my Harley for the first time since I got hurt 2 years ago.
Oh.
Okay, so that's September
11th, 8 o'clock.
9/11, huh?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things going on that weekend, you know that?
A lot. But that's the date they chose.
You got the rib thing, and you've got the...
And the Patriots Day at the mm-hmm. flag. It's
Patriots Day
7.
At the flag, and then you've also got the Asphalt Cowboys are having their big thing
right.
on the 12th, the next day. So that's going to
be a
big weekend.
Be a wild weekend.
Big weekend.
And then October 2nd, I've got my Bark and Wine up at the Red Lion. And that is, it's totally opposite of the Dog Pound Run. It's a dress-up wine tasting event. A lot of fun. And I'm doing a VIP party at my suite there that night. And we've got wines from all over California. It's going to be excellent.
So how do you get invited up to that?
Just give me a call at 241-1653.
You bring lots of dog food.
Bring dog food or dollars. We'll figure
right.
it out.
So, okay, before we end, one more time, what do you need right now, today?
I need dog food, cat food, kitty food, and puppy food, or the money to purchase more. And either one would help me a lot. I appreciate it. And I do want to thank the people who've helped us with this program for the past 2 years. We couldn't have done it without all the support of our community.
Well, we appreciate what you do.
We appreciate
what you and Maggie do for our community.
Thank you.
Anything we can do to help support either one, of course, we're there.
Thanks a lot.
You bet.
Well, you guys are great, and thanks so much. We had the chat room open today. There was a lot of activity in that. It was a lot of fun getting your comments, and we'll be back tomorrow. Our guest tomorrow we have...
is Jim Reed, who's running for Congress against Wally Herger. He's a Democrat. I think he's out of Fall River.
He's out of Fall River.
He is launching a huge campaign.
We're going to be going back to Tobacco and Brew and doing our noon broadcast here. We haven't selected the date yet.
Starting
in
September.
It's going to be the perfect time where we'll have all of the people that are running for office hopefully come in person. We can have them on in the morning, and then that afternoon you can meet them and talk with them about, you know, issues that you might be concerned with.
Yeah, we'll have a couple of debates for them on the radio with ones that are serious about it. We'll see who's still here in October, but it's going to be a fight. And I think you're right, Ray, is that let's hope that it's a more civil time and that people can talk about issues and not get into this thing about, you know, that you hate people and all that kind of stuff, you know. Oh, you hate the police, or you hate unions, and oh no, you just hate people, and you know, can't stand that one.
Well, it's currently 74 degrees. It's going to be a beautiful day of 92,
and it's a Monday.
Yeah,
thanks for joining us.
And we're really excited about being on the air another week here. We love that you guys tune in, and we love being part of this fabulous community.
And just remember, the good guys against the bad guys.
8, 9, 10.
Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding.